It was exciting to put the Washington Capitals jersey on, and it was really nice to meet all the guys, get the practice in and do the drills, get in the flow, and work hard.
Even though I was in, obviously San Jose for so long, the guys really made me feel comfortable here. They got a good staff and a great group, so really I feel like, at home again.
Now the defense begins, and hopefully we can do it again.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another episode of a new season of Our Line Starts with Eddie Olczyk and Keith Jones. I'm Catherine Tappan. Great to see you guys. The season is just upon us now, finally.
Happy New Year, everybody. How are you guys doing? Jonesy, KT?
Doing well, buddy. Good to see you guys and looking forward to getting started again. Just a couple of days away. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well rested. We're all well rested, except for you, KT. You've been doing double duty here with football and now jumping back to hockey. So great job by you during the football as well. Enjoyed watching.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was fun to be working and continuously working and certainly covering the games was fun. But we've got hockey now. And my goodness, do we have a hockey schedule, you guys. I mean, we're looking at a 56-game slate, so everything's going to be crammed in, which is always exciting because it's a fight to the finish line just starting in January. So, Jonesy, I'll start with you. What are you most looking forward to with this condensed schedule and the way the divisions are lined up?
Yeah, I think the division lineup is what really has intrigued me the most. And I think back to when both Edzo and I were playing, you played a lot of games within your division, and they were always intense. And the fact that those are the only games you're playing this year is going to make them that much more intense. So I think teams that are more physical, that have been in the past and are built that way for this season, are going to go a long way in helping themselves. So I'm looking forward to a lot of the animosity that's going to be brought about between the teams, and it should be a really competitive battle to see who makes the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think too, KT, is the – you mentioned a 56-game schedule, and again, I mean, we're hoping that all the teams can play the 56 games and trying to maneuver through this pandemic. But when you look at a normal season, teams talk about the first 20 games of the regular season, you want to get off to a good start, and we've seen a team like St. Louis fall into dead last in January a couple of years ago in the regular season, and all of a sudden they're 250-1 to win the Stanley Cup, and there they are in the playoffs and in winning. Even more so this year, in my opinion, you can miss the playoffs in the first 20 games. And to Jonesy's point, you're playing each other, every other night. There is going to be that animosity, but I think teams, you want to win every game, but if you can be around that 500 threshold after 20 games, you're going to give yourself a chance to be one of the top four teams to be able to get into the playoffs. If you're one of those teams that gets off to a 5-12 and 3 start, you're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, unless you go and you play the last 30 some games and play 800 or 900 hockey, yeah, it's possible. But I'm looking forward to seeing what teams get off to a good start the first 20 games, and then we'll be able to kind of see how it all plays out. But a lot of dynamics this year, and really excited that we're going to be dropping the puck really soon.
Yeah, and you guys mentioned, the condensed schedule, and obviously Jonesy as a player, you talked about how challenging that is and in the midst of a pandemic, but also with that condensed schedule, there's so many back-to-backs. I think San Jose has the most amount at 12, but I mean, that's going to be a challenge, right, Edzo, to kind of navigate the schedule and to try and figure out where you're resting guys, if you're, getting the proper rest. I mean, what is the most important factor for these teams going into this really difficult schedule from a taxing perspective?
Well, I would say this is that if Allen Iverson was a hockey player, he would really enjoy this season because there isn't going to be practice. Practice? There's not going to be a lot of practice time. There really isn't. And even more so, and you made a great point there, KT, about the back-to-backs. What about the situations with backup goaltenders in certain situations? You know, when do you play them? I mean, look at every division in the league of the four, maybe for the exception, in my opinion, for the exception in the Northern Division, the All-Canadian Division, there's going to be opportunities where teams are going to decide to play their backups on some teams that may be in a rebuild, or you know that the big goal isn't necessarily to make the playoffs, but is to develop their young players. You know, you're going to have to play your backup goaltenders, and it's going to be really intriguing. But you know, the divisional setup, the All-Canadian Division, you know, the Eastern Conference. I mean, you're going to have a team or two that is really, really good, isn't going to make the playoffs because of the way that it's set up. And that's just the way that it is during a global pandemic. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how coaches and how players manage this schedule, because there are going to be a lot of games in a short period of time, because it's going to be play, day off, play, day off. And if you're not having morning skates, you know, you're trying to protect everybody in the building and trying to just manage through this. You're going to play on a Wednesday night, maybe have an easy skate on Thursday, and then you don't do anything Friday morning, and then you play the game Friday night. So as the season goes on, there's not going to be a lot of practice time, that's for sure.
And I think, guys, there's a few things that benefit the players in this situation. Number one, nutrition is such an important part of what every player does now. It's like a full-time part of his job. The conditioning is outstanding for all the players. So that's not as big of a challenge as it would be back, say, 15, 20 years ago. The trainers and the staff are really great at making sure everything is taken care of for the players. They have to focus on hockey. It's going to be intense. And if they don't like practicing, like Edzo said, they're going to love it. The back-to-backs, they'll deal with that. I'd rather play in a back-to-back than get skated for 2 days or 3 days between a week off. You know, it's an interesting thing. But the fact that they have short memories is going to be important. If you lose a game, you better jump back right in there and make sure you get your game back on track immediately. Slumps will not be tolerated in this type of schedule. So it's a lot of things that are intriguing to watch from the outside. But from a player's perspective, I think they're going to enjoy just how much they're playing and how little they're traveling for the most part. I think that should help them in some ways as well.
Hey Jonesy and KT, too, just talking to a few coaches and players throughout the league. You know, I think the first couple of games, I think you're going to have your moments where you're going to sit there and go, wow, man, you know, like this is unbelievable, right? You're going to get on one of those waves where it's going to be like it's mid-season form, right? But you're going to have stretches here, and this has been kind of, I don't want to say a concern, but certainly a part of the process for these players and coaches is talking about, I'm really not sure what the hell I'm going to get when these guys get on the ice for the first game. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah, they're in great shape. And Jonesy, we could speak to this. You can be in great shape and whatever, but there's nothing like playing games. And let's not forget, there are no exhibition games. And look at that's just the way that it is. So everybody's on an even playing surface. Mm-hmm. But for me, it'll be really interesting to see those waves when it really goes. It's going to look amazing. And then you're going to have stretches probably. Jonesy, what would you think it's going to take? Maybe for everybody, I mean, for most guys, right? Probably a good 5 games plus to really kind of get your game shape and getting those, you know, kind of the game condition. Would you agree with that?
I would. So I would anticipate that every team comes out flying, that there's a whole bunch of energy and there's a lot of excitement. And then there's going to be teams that hit the wall.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be around that 5-game mark. Yeah. Some teams will handle it better because they're probably better teams than some of the opposition that they're facing. But for the most part, that's going to be the challenge. Getting through that 7th game, the 12th game, before they get re-energized, get that second win that should carry them for the rest of the season.
Let's talk about some of the big storylines going into the season, you guys, because for me, a lot of it has to do, two of the big headlining stories for me are these franchise icons that we are going to see in a different uniform this year. I'm talking about Joe Thornton going to Toronto and also Zdeno Chara going to the Washington Capitals. Let's start with Z, because poor New England fans, they've lost Mookie Betts, they've lost Tom Brady, and now they lose Zdeno Chara to heads to Washington. But I mean, and so when you heard that news, because it seemed like he could have stayed in Boston at the number that he took to go to Washington, but why was Washington the better fit for Zdeno in this situation?
Well, I mean, look, at just when you hear Donnie Sweeney, and I liked how he handled it, and the Bruins handled the situation, and Z, I mean, both with class, right? The Bruins and Donnie, and then obviously Zdeno Chara and handling the situation. There's there. Look at, I mean, here's a guy that that thinks and knows and wants to play and play more and play in that, you know, that certain role that he had. And I think he just kind of felt, again, just reading the tea leaves, he was in a situation where he kind of thought that, you know what, it's not gonna work out in Boston. I'm not gonna be playing in a lot of those situations. They want to, you know, move some other guys along and move them up the ladder. And hey, that's just the way it is. It's a business. And I give him credit for saying, you know what, I still want to play. I still want to be a key cog, and he's going to be an important part in Washington. I mean, how crazy is that? And then on the other side of that is, oh, by the way, he gets to play the Bruins 8 times this year. So
yeah, exactly.
That'll be, you know, that'll be a lot of fun to watch, and looking forward to seeing Big Z. And it's going to be, look at, it's going to be different. I mean, his numbers, I mean, in my opinion, his numbers should be retired, and I think will be retired in Boston at some point here down the road. But here's a guy that feels he can play more. There was a team out there looking for a guy like that. And I think Washington, I know we're kind of, I'm bouncing around here a little bit, but you know, I think Washington's one of those teams. They've improved themselves on the back end where it's been a little bit of a sore spot here recently. They picked up, obviously, Zdeno Chara. They picked up a guy like Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who is a very solid 5-6-7 type of defenseman that can come in and come out and has experience, won a Stanley Cup with Chicago. I think they've improved themselves quite a bit here. And in a shortened season, again, what's going to go on with the goaltending? No more Holtby because he's in Vancouver. You got Ilya Samsonov there. Of course, if they don't get goaltending, they're not going to win. But I'm intrigued to see what Big Z looks like in our nation's capital come opening night.
And I would think that's what attracted him to the Washington Capitals. Number one, a little more of an opportunity than what it sounded like he was going to get with Boston. And a fact that on paper, they look like a team that should contend for the Stanley Cup. Their defense is improved, and he will make them better. He's a big-bodied guy. He's going to make everybody feel a little bit tougher than they might have previously. He can beat up anybody in the league. He can go up against the biggest, toughest guys, and that's going to be important in this type of format where you're playing within the division. The other thing I forget sometimes is that Big Z's only team wasn't the Boston Bruins. And a lot of times you want to see a guy stay. I was actually disappointed when Ray Bourque moved on because I wanted to see him retire with the Bruins. Worked out well for him. He ended up winning the Stanley Cup. But when players like Joe Sakic and Steve Yzerman stay with the same organization, I think there's something neat about that. The fact that Zdeno was in with the Islanders to start his career and then with the Ottawa Senators, spent a lot of time with the Bruins and did an awful lot for the organization. But I think it makes it a little bit easier to move on when you've had those experiences in different cities.
And also, too, KT and Jones, again, just my thought, and KT, you asked when I heard about it. I think, too, and I would take myself back as a player or a coach in this league, is the dynamic, again, having family, having kids. It's a shortened season, too, which, again, we don't know. Look, we're all day-to-day in the big picture. But we don't know what's going to happen next year moving forward for Zdeno Chara or a guy like Henrik Lundqvist, obviously, who's not playing this year. We certainly hope King Henrik is doing well after his surgery. But, you know, I think the shortened season, you know, probably would have had played into that decision as well for Big Z of going to Washington for the 56 games or whatever the schedule is going to end up being. So I think there's certainly a lot more than just the playing part of it. But again, as a player, Jonesy, you know that. Look, you get an opportunity. You want to play. You want to play as much as you can. You want to be an important part. And he's certainly going to get that opportunity. And he's going to help some of those guys there. And another winner going to Washington. So I'd agree with you, Jonesy. I think they might be one of those sleeper teams when you're looking to maybe get your feet wet when it comes to some wagering on some teams moving forward.
And the same guys can be said about Joe Thornton, who you mentioned earlier, Catherine. There's no question that he's going to a team that can use his leadership, can use his attitude. I mean, this is a guy that a lot of players can learn a lot from based upon how he goes about living his life. He's a great human being. He's a guy that absolutely loves the game, has great passion for it. And he's going to get a great opportunity with a Leafs team that We're waiting for them to break through. They look like they're close to being able to do that. They're loaded with star talent. And why not add a guy like Thornton that's been there? He's been a superstar in the league and can kind of pass on some of the things that he's learned in that role throughout his career. And that should benefit the Maple Leafs. I think he'll be a helpful piece to them. And I'm glad to see him go back and play close to his hometown. Not quite there, but very close to Toronto. So it's good for him to be back there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too, KT and Jonesy, that, you know, where Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, plays the guy and how he uses a guy like Joe Thornton. You know, right now it looks like he's going to be on the line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. I don't know how long that will last. I mean, those guys like to get up and go. And, you know, Joe Jumbo is always been a great thinker of the game, the anticipation all of these years in the league, you know, still can get up and down the ice okay. You know, I think in a situation where if you can anticipate, it can offset maybe some of the lack of quickness, but it'll be interesting to see how long that kind of plays out. Do I think that that is something that will last the whole season or whatever? Probably not. When I first initially saw it, I was like, whoa, like it just kind of caught me back there. It's like, how is he going to be able to keep up with those guys? So again, it's all a work in progress, but as Jonesy said, a guy that loves the game, eats the game, breathes and sleeps it, and now he gets a chance to go back to his so-called hometown and play for the Maple Leafs. So, you know, what an opportunity. And I think everybody thought that once he didn't move the last couple of years, because he's been on what, KT and Jones, he's been on one-year deals there with Doug Wilson in San Jose, it seems like, for about 100 years. He just, like, every year is a one-year, and he's never going to go. He doesn't want to move the trade deadline or whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, here they are. He comes, kind of comes out of nowhere, and he ends up in Toronto. One of those special guys in the league, and be interesting to see how it all plays out in TO.
Yeah, and Toronto's certainly one of the favorites in that North Division. And, I mean, for Joe, the number one thing was to win a Stanley Cup, so he'll get the opportunity to do that. Circling back on the Bruins real quick, I don't want to go without noticing and acknowledging that Patrice Bergeron will now be the captain of the Boston Bruins with Zdeno Chara's departure. And I just think, you know, he's been a captain in waiting. He's been a face of that franchise. And you guys talk about a player that wants to stay with one team his entire career. You know, putting that C on his sweater may keep Patrice Bergeron a Bruin for life, which would be fun to see for the fans in New England. Sticking with the East Division, though, in Boston, and I think one of their biggest competitors is going to be the Buffalo Sabres. I like what Buffalo did in the offseason. You get Taylor Hall, you get Eric Staal. They have strength down the middle now. Probably the number one question mark would be in net for the Buffalo Sabres, but there's something special in that city in Buffalo right now, Jonesy. They've got the Bills on a roll, getting ready to play again this weekend on Saturday to advance and try and get a Super Bowl. But you look at the Buffalo Sabres, and this is a franchise that is on the upswing right now. How much are those additions going to help this team get them to the next level?
They're going to help a lot. And it's not the first time that I felt going into a season that Buffalo was going to be a much improved team. I've been caught with that a couple of different times, but I think this is for real. I think that they are obviously a much improved team because of personnel. I think Taylor Hall should be a nice fit there. It gives Jack Eichel another star player to play with. I think Eichel's the type of player that can, you know, control the pace of a game. Mm-hmm. He is a fun guy to watch play. Sabre fans, I think, have enjoyed watching Jack play over the last few seasons, but they'd love to see him play on a winning team and be a captain of a winning team. And it looks like the pieces are in place for Buffalo to do that and maybe a little bit more. So I'm encouraged by what's happened in Buffalo. I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon just yet, but I do believe that, and I know they're a much improved team and should be ultra competitive in that new division.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest question mark, is how far can they you know, how far can they move up that ladder in that division? That is a brutal division. I mean, like I said earlier, KT and Jonesy, there's going to be a couple of really good teams that just don't make it because of the dynamic. You know, in prior years, and again, it's all we can go on is what has happened in the past and learn from it, is that, you know, you've had four or five representatives from one division before, because in the other division, you have to get the top three in there. So you're going to have a couple of teams that, you know, it's going to be tough. I think they're up against it. I really like the intriguing move there, bringing Taylor Hall there, and understanding his relationship with Ralph Kruger when they were there in Edmonton a long time ago. But Jack Eichel staying healthy and doing what he's able to do. But it'll be interesting. Do I think they'll be able to do what the Bills have done, the Bills Mafia has done this year, KT? No, I don't. I do not believe that, but I think they're certainly trending in the right direction. And, you know, they have tremendous ownership there and with both teams, with the Bills and the Sabres, and with Terry and Kim Pegula. So they're trying to mimic what's going on with the Buffalo Bills, because at this point they haven't been able to do it with the Sabres, but it seems like they're trending in the right way. But I'm not sure that they're in the top four in that division, because that's pretty salty.
Yeah, you mentioned the ownership. I had a chance to actually talk to Kim Pegula at my recent Bills game, and she said the number one concern they had is the division they're playing in. She said when they got a line, she called Gary Bettman and said, really, with this division right now?
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Buffalo is able to do. But another big storyline going into the opening night, you guys, are some of the big stars that are going to be absent for the foreseeable future. And I'm talking about Jonathan Toews with Chicago, the captain, dealing with a health issue, will not join his team to start the season. Nikita Kucherov out for the regular season. He had hip surgery. Maybe he'll be available for the playoffs. Edzo, you mentioned Henrik Lundqvist, who had open heart surgery, dealing with a major, major situation there, appears to be doing well, according to his updates on his social media. Corey Crawford, sudden retirement. So the New Jersey Devils are left without a goaltender now. They signed him to a two-year deal, hoping he'd be the number one guy. Let's talk about some of these big names. And Jonesy, I'm not sure where you want to start, but maybe we start in Chicago with Jonathan Toews. And, you know, the Blackhawks are going to have to be missing their captain.
Yeah, of all the guys that are going to be missing, obviously Jonathan Toews is the most important, the captain of the hockey team. He's been there since he arrived in the National Hockey League, a player that Edzo gets to watch a lot more frequently than I do, but we all love watching him play. Ultra competitive, you know, the leadership part of the game can't be underestimated, how much he brings to the table. Stanley Cup championships, all of those things, and also just a tremendous guy to listen to, speak after games and before games. He's got a lot to say and a lot to offer, but most importantly, he's a great player. So he will be missed. The Blackhawks as a team are going to obviously have huge skates to fill. Very difficult challenge. I would be surprised if they could make the playoffs without him. I don't think that's anything shocking, but I'll miss watching him play and watching him lead that team. They always felt like the Hawks had a chance when Toews and Kane were there together. Kane by himself is going to have a much more difficult time.
Yeah, you mentioned Corey Crawford, KT. I think Jersey's going to be okay with Mackenzie Blackwood. I think he's a pretty darn good young goaltender, and I think they wanted to bring Crawford in there to help mentor him and to, you know, not necessarily allow Blackwood to have to play in a normal season to be a guy that carries a load and play 50 plus games. So, you know, they're certainly looking to bring somebody in there to help the young goaltender. I think they'll be fine, but a guy like Corey Crawford, I mean, look, you know, I mean, he got offered a contract in Chicago before he eventually signed that two-year deal in New Jersey and just decided, you know what, I want to go and play a little bit more. And he just decided to pack it in for personal reasons, and we have to respect that issue. And another goaltender, you mentioned Henrik Lundqvist. I don't say I was surprised that he left, the situation with the two good goaltenders in with the Rangers with Shesterkin and Georgiev, but they really like that guy, Jonesy. They really do, Georgiev. But at the end of the day, to see Henrik Lundqvist decide that he wanted to play a little bit more, and he goes to Washington, and to know, you know, arch rival of the New York Rangers, but then hearing this, you know, the news that he had to have the surgery, on his heart. And as we said earlier, we're certainly thinking about him and praying for him and hoping that he's going to be okay. And, you know, look at it, you know, is there an opportunity that, you know, that we see Henrik Lundqvist put on the pads again one more time. I mean, only time will tell, and certainly that would be a great thing. But I think we'll always know him as a guy that that carried the franchise for the New York Rangers for a long, long time. And I still believe to this day, KT and Jonesy, I still don't think that he gets enough props for being the guy in New York for all those years. You saw some of the teams that he played. I don't want to say he played in front of. He played in back of. He was a guy that helped carry the load, and he came a little short in winning the Stanley Cup there against LA a few years ago. But this guy's a winner, and we're going to miss him, that's for sure, this year. And hopefully he's healthy first and foremost, and we'll wait and see on his hockey career.
Yeah, no question about that. First and foremost, the health with him. Guys, Tampa Bay, they won the Stanley Cup, but they are not the favorite this year to win Lord Stanley's Cup. Let's take a look at the odds from our partners at PointsBet Sportsbook. And Edzo, I mean, it's interesting to look at the odds for the outright cup. What do you have? How would you handle
it? Well, I think, look, and they're not the favorite, and I think rightfully so. It is tough to repeat. We've seen it, KT, and as we pull up our numbers from our friends at PointsBet, the favorite, and rightfully so. I will say this, the Colorado Avalanche at one point were 9-1 to win the Stanley Cup. They added Devon Taves from the New York Islanders, who is a top four defenseman, in my opinion. They brought in Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks, who's a two-time Stanley Cup winner, and a guy that can play in your top six. He's going to help their penalty kill. They've dropped all the way to less than 6-1. And I think there's still great value there at 5.5-1 to win the Stanley Cup. And to me, Jonesy, it's win the cup or bust for the Colorado Avalanche. Look, to me, they have the best player in the National Hockey League. We can have this argument, I'm sure, as the year goes on. I think Nathan MacKinnon is the best player in the league. He plays in all three zones. He is an electric player. He has proven himself. So I think rightfully so, the Colorado Avalanche. I would be shocked if they did not come out of a very deep and contentious Western Conference, so to speak. When you look at Vegas, you look at St. Louis over there. But I think rightfully so, the Colorado Avalanche should be the favorite, and they are at 5.5-1. The one team I will give everybody that I think is a sleeper team when they look to numbers and odds and value, up in the Northern Division. The Calgary Flames finally have a goaltender, Jonesy. They picked up Jacob Markstrom, KT, from the Vancouver Canucks. Yep. The last time I looked, they're 28-1. You know one team's coming out of that Northern Division, so they're going to get to the Final Four. If the Calgary Flames can navigate and figure their way through, 28-1 sounds like a pretty good price, whether it's hockey or it's horses, Jonesy. The Calgary Flames, to me, might be one of those sleeper teams if you're looking to get your feet wet on a Stanley Cup winner.
And they've got that 1-2 punch in net, too. You guys talk about the importance of two goalies with David Rittich as the backup. I mean, that's a really good goaltending duo for those guys.
Yeah, and goaltending backups came in real handy last year in the playoffs, didn't they? Including when Markstrom couldn't play for Vancouver. So I think Vancouver is also going to be a competitive team again, especially with the way that they can move the puck from the back end. But I wouldn't be betting on them to win the Stanley Cup, but I do think they're going to cause some problems. Calgary is a great sleeper choice. I love the odds there, too. That's an awesome pick. Avalanche, I would say the odds are too low. They should be the team and are the team to beat, but I wouldn't be betting 550 to, you know, or to get that type of odds that you're getting at 5.5-1. Vegas is a great choice for me as well. I think Pietrangelo is going to do an incredibly good job there. I think ownership there with Bill Foley is in win-now mode. He's been in that mode since he arrived in the NHL. I think if they feel like something's missing, they'll quickly add it and adjust. But they've got enough there to make another run at a Stanley Cup. And I would be very concerned about finding ways to beat a team like Vegas because they're stacked throughout their lineup.
Hey, Jonesy, let me ask you. It's interesting because my feeling is, and again, remember, they moved Paul Stastny out, right, to fit in Alex Pietrangelo now. They moved Nate Schmidt out, okay, I mean, maneuvering, handling the salary cap. And Nate Schmidt now in Vancouver and Stastny now in Winnipeg. I look at the center ice position, Jonesy, for Vegas. Like, do you think that they have enough in the middle to be able to finally take that next step? Now, look, at their first year, we know it was unbelievable to be able to make the run that they did. Now they changed coaches, a lot of things have moved. I just don't know if they're deep enough at the center ice position. Do you think that's a fair argument?
It is, for sure. And William Karlsson's going to have to play back to what he played a couple of seasons ago. That would obviously be critically important to their, mm-hmm. you know, fortunes as far as things go. Younger players are going to have to move up in their lineup. That's going to have to be part of it as well. Some of their top draft choices are going to have to develop quickly. So if you're looking at that team, that would be something. Right. I like the way they can defend, though. I like the fact that they're big and strong, especially with the way these divisions are set up. I think there's a lot of advantages they have, including in goal. So those would be the main reasons that I would like them. Yeah. I think they're going to play maybe a little bit differently than when they have in the past, as far as being maybe even more physical, but most importantly, defend a little bit better. I think their goals against average is going to go down.
That's a question. With a 56-game schedule, how many points is it going to take, do you think, to get into the playoffs for these guys?
Well, I think really depending on the divisions, you have a possible, 56 times 2 is what, Jonesy, 111? No, it's 112, Jonesy. So
I'm just getting my calculator.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you got a calculator. I got an abacus over here. I'm trying to figure that out myself here. So, yeah, and if you young people out there watching don't know what an abacus is, go on your phone and look it up. You'll know what I'm talking about. You know what? Look, KT, I mean, I think obviously every division is going to be tough. I mean, I look at the Eastern Division and sit there and go, and maybe even the Northern Division and sit there and go, wow, could you get to a team that's, could somebody get to 35 wins, go 35-21 and get to that 70-point plateau? You might have, five teams that are within maybe 4 or 5 points. It's going to be so close that, maybe you do have a team that makes it if they're only 2 or 3 games over 500, and mm-hmm. it'll be really interesting to see. So I'd be looking at that Eastern Conference and the Northern, the All-Canadian division, to really sit there and look and go, wow, you could probably make a case for, in my opinion, maybe for 5 or 6 teams to be able to make it. But you mentioned a point total, KT, and our friends at PointsBet, they have all different types of wagers when it comes to betting on the National Hockey League. But the one thing is interesting, they do have point totals for each team in the National Hockey League. Like, do you think your team is going to get to a certain number? So they set the lines. The one team I think is really interesting, and Jones, I'd like your input on this. I look at the point total for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, we know who they have. They have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and you can argue those two players are top 10 players in the NHL. A lot of people think Connor McDavid is number one, and I wouldn't argue that. I already said that I think MacKinnon is the best player in the league right now. But when I look at the Edmonton Oilers, and I watched them play in the playoffs last year against the Chicago Blackhawks, they didn't have Oscar Klefbom last year playing, and he is a really integral part of their team. He's out for the season. Their point total is 63.5 in that Canadian division. I think they have the weakest goaltending in the Canadian division. Look what Ottawa did. Ottawa went out and got Matt Murray. We know what Montreal is with Carey Price. Toronto's got Freddie Anderson. Winnipeg's got Connor Hellebuyck. Calgary went out and got Markstrom from Vancouver. Vancouver went out and got Braden Holtby, and they got Thatcher Demko. I look at the Edmonton Oilers. They have the same goaltending in Mike Smith in Koskinen. In their defense, I watched a play last year in the playoffs, Jonesy. They couldn't check their hat. They were not very good against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, it's a 56-game schedule. You have two of the greatest, the best players in the entire National Hockey League. Can they score 5 goals every game? Yeah. Can their goaltending give up 6? They could. So could they win games 7-6 and 6-5? I look at the Edmonton Oilers, Jonesy. I look at that total and go, you know what? I think that's a little high for my liking. So if you're looking at point totals, there might be some value there. What's your thoughts on Edmonton, Jones?
I would agree with a lot of what you just said. I would also add that I don't know that the 5-point games are going to be there because every game's like a division game. Right. And so superstar players are going to be checked every night like that right. game is the most important right. game of the season. You're not going to get a lot of breathing room. Every team has a book on the 2 stars of the Edmonton Oilers, and it yeah. hasn't worked out very well yet. But there is times that can wear on top players. So I think the fact that there's a lot of games coming in rapidly and the fact that it's against the same opponents, I think that's going to work against the Edmonton Oilers. And I would agree. I would take the under on that.
Well, you guys, just for a frame of reference, the 16th spot, the final spot to get into the playoffs last year, was a 565 point percentage. So that translates to 63 points in a 56-game schedule. Of course, everyone can look at the points and prognosticate the season with our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook. Jonesy, we talked a lot about the East, but I have not asked you yet about the Philadelphia Flyers, a team you spend a heck of a lot of time covering. I mean, I love where it starts at the top with the Flyers, with Alain Vigneault. I think he did a tremendous job with this team, and we saw that in the playoffs. But how do you rate them going into this year?
My one concern is that Matt Niskanen's no longer there, and that's his retirement is going to be a big hole to fill. He was such a calming influence on the back end, and I thought he helped Provorov bring his game to another level. So they're going to need some young guys to continue develop quickly. They also are going to be playing a lot of games within that division like everybody else, and it's an extremely difficult division. They're very strong up the middle with Hayes and Couturier. They have size that could hold up well against playing the same team a lot during a short period of time. I think that will help them. The only concern I have is on the back end, just how Niskanen's absence will affect them. They've got the goaltender, and that's been the question in Philly for a long time. That's no longer a question. So you have to feel good about the team based upon that. But I do have a worry there with Niskanen not being involved.
The two things, if I can, KT and Jonesy, with the Flyers. One is that how good was that signing of Kevin Hayes by Chuck Fletcher? Like that was just absolutely huge, because there was a stretch there, Jonesy, and you can disagree with me, but watching a lot of the Flyers games, Kevin Hayes carried that team for a good stretch. I mean, he was doing everything. I mean, he wasn't on the first power play, but boy, oh boy, second power play unit, he would chip in, he'd kill penalties, scoring some great goals. I mean, I thought that was one as good as a free agent signing that we saw last year. I don't think that the Flyers and Kevin Hayes got enough credit for that. And then the last thing is maybe my only concern is that maybe I love Alain Vigneault, and I think every team that he has been on, his teams have overachieved, whether it was in Vancouver, whether it was with the Rangers, or certainly now in Philadelphia. He has that ability to be able to get a lot out of his team, regardless of what the expectations are from people like us. But the one thing I will say is that maybe, just maybe, he needs to not challenge some of those offsides plays as much as we saw in the playoffs last year, because a couple of those challenges, I looked at it, Jonesy, I think we were talking about, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Please don't challenge. And I've said this, I've been saying this for the last 5 years. I still don't understand how teams in a National Hockey League, and certainly if I would do this if I had the opportunity, I don't understand how teams do not hire former officials or referees to become a part of their video review team, the video coaches, the guys that are watching everything, whether it's from rules or offsides plays, whatever. I still don't understand how no team in the league has hired a former referee to be in there. My opinion is that if you have somebody in there, I like to think that we know a lot of the rules. We don't know the finer points of the rules. To me, to have somebody in there that knows the rules, a former official, to help you whether you challenge, you don't challenge. Because in some of these situations, if you challenge, and look, in both those challenges last year I'm talking about with Alain Vigneault, they ended up winning those games. And to me, you shouldn't have challenged. He did. They ended up winning. They ran, and he got away without having to answer any real questions. Because look, you challenge in the wrong situation, that's not only wins, but that's money. And you lose revenue for whether it's playoff games, home games, whatever it is. So long-winded, I'm sitting here saying, I think it's a difference between over a normal season of 82 games. I believe if you have a former official in there, I think it's a difference between 8 and 10 points over the course of a regular season. Whether he tells you to challenge or he tells you not to challenge could end up being the difference of whether you're making the playoffs or not. So that's where I'm going to get off the pedestal here. But I believe is that somebody should hire a former official. I think all teams should. That's just my opinion. I think it would help and make life a little easier on the coach.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right there. And so, well, guys, I would be remiss if we ended our opening episode of Our Line Starts without mentioning that one of our teammates announced his retirement recently, and that's the beloved Doc Emrick. It's just going to be very strange without having him a part of our telecasts. And, I mean, really, for the whole entire sports broadcasting world across the board in all sports, not having Doc being a part of the broadcast will be a significant loss. And, Edzo, no one will feel that loss more than you. Can you just comment on Doc's retirement and what it's going to mean for you moving forward without him?
Yeah, it was a tough day, KT, when Doc gave me the heads up that that he was going to ride off into the sunset with his wife Joyce and the pups and the horses. And I knew it was around the corner, but I didn't realize that it was going to be so soon. But certainly Doc is at peace, and that's all that matters. And I'm going to miss him a lot. I'm going to miss, obviously, our time on the air and the broadcast and, you know, the camaraderie and the trust that had developed, over the 14 years that we were sitting next to one another or standing next to one another in some of the Winter Classics or sitting in the booths. And, that March 11th, I didn't realize sitting next to Doc at the United Center, Chicago and San Jose on NBCSN on Wednesday Night Hockey would have been the last time that I ever sat next to Doc for a game. And that's obviously when that we were in the heat of the pandemic and hockey ended up shutting down. And then the rest of the games we did were far apart, but we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him a lot. Cause as we know, anytime we heard Doc, you knew it was an important broadcast, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Joyce, and we're going to try to carry on his legacy the best that we can. And I've reminisced a lot, KT and Jonesy, publicly and privately with Doc, and I'm always asked to, tell a story and what have you. And I think for me, having worked with Doc as long as I did, I think there was always that, it was always very intimidating to sit in the chair next to Doc Emrick because of who he was and what he stood for and the heights that he wanted to take the broadcast. And I think when I arrived, or I really felt like I was a part that I deserve to be in that chair, even though that, I worked my way to getting into that opportunity, is Doc had said publicly, that he hopes that when Edzo, me, turns 65, is that he has somebody that takes care of him as he has taken care of me. And that's when I really felt that I had arrived and I had gotten the stamp of approval from the greatest of all time, and I'm very proud of that. And we're going to miss him, and he's still going to be a part of our team. He's still going to be doing some special assignments, and looking forward to seeing him and hearing him, and maybe we can slide him a headset every once in a while, maybe to jump in and give us one of those calls, or the one of the most, we all have our favorite calls of Doc, but for me, it's anytime that the puck would go off the iron and I would sit next to Doc and see him get so excited and so amped up that the puck would hit the iron, and Doc would just sit there and go, "He hit the post with the shot." And I'd have to look over there to make sure that he was still breathing and making sure that he was okay, because he would just emphasize that. So for me, I'm going to miss a lot of things, but his friendship and his trust is something that will be with me the rest of my life.
Well said. We will miss him, but I do hope NBC has some special things planned, as you mentioned, Edzo, with the special assignments he's going to do, but also he deserves the proper send-off, and we didn't get a chance to do that, so hopefully we do. On that note, guys, I'm looking forward to the triple header, Wednesday Night Hockey, to kick things off. Jonesy, get ready. You're going to be stuck with me for a long time here.
Can't wait, buddy. Can't wait.
All right. Edzo, have a great call opening night, and it's been fun, guys. We'll keep doing this throughout the season. Another
episode. Thanks, KT. See you, Jonesy. Love you guys. Stay safe.
See you, guys. Bye.